AI a lot. We talk about autonomous vehicles a lot. And that is, again, the topic of Mobility Makers, brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. But there's a twist to today's Mobility Makers. We're talking about Mythos AI. And they say they've taken everything they've learned of self-driving, autonomous technology, and created an autonomous framework specific to the maritime domain. And it's really interesting, trying to take human error out of navigation. Let's bring in Dylan Sparks, Director of Operations at Mythos AI. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I was looking at your website. That's where I got all that information. And it says, meet Archie. Tell us about Archie.
Oh, yeah. Archie was our first product to market that we used to help bootstrap the company. And Archie actually is a fully autonomous self-driving survey vessel. So it does maps of the ocean floor. And we use that in ports and in the rivers, the interior rivers, to see where the bottom is and how it's changing. And then give that information to these larger ships so that they know where they can drive safely and where to avoid.
You know, when you talk about removing human error from navigation, that's a pretty big statement. What kinds of errors are we talking about, and how do they actually lead to incidents in the water?
Oh, sure, that's a good question. The marine industry, travels on marine highways. Not a lot of people think of the waterways as marine highways, but that's really what they are. And in these rivers, they actually change quite a bit. The Mississippi River being one of the most rapidly changing rivers, constantly the bottom is moving and changing, and so the charts don't always reflect that information, and so the ships can get stuck. And when a ship gets stuck, since that marine highway, there aren't a lot of other ways around. You can't just take ways and move somewhere else to go around this ship, so it stops up the entire transportation industry until they can get that ship unstuck. I mean, you saw in the Suez Canal, that was a huge international incident, and that was not what was happening here. That was an error from the captain, as opposed to the bottom getting stuck because of not knowing where the bottom was, but a similar situation. Mm-hmm.
Were you hearing from people in the industry that this was a problem, that this was an issue that they needed solved? And then how did you come up with this technology?
Yeah, we were one. Jeff from our team was making these surface vessels that were small and remote controlled. And he was getting feedback that they weren't smart enough, that they needed to drive themselves. And for years he had called me and tried to get me to help him and do something, but Jeff and I weren't capable enough on our own to do it. And it wasn't until we were at a bachelor party with another former coworker, and
that's where it all happened.
I'm telling you,
that's where it went down. Yeah, so. He was ready to move on, asked if I had any ideas, and I said, let's give Jeff a call. He's got lots of ideas. Let's sit down and have a discussion. And 6 months later, we decided that's what we needed to do.
So we're talking about autonomous vessels, 11,000 miles logged of autonomous vessels. You're talking about sort of figuring out what's on the bottom of the river or ocean floor. What about these accidents? We've had these bridge accidents. Could your technology help there?
Yeah. Yes, in many instances it can, for sure. In some instances, there's not much you can do, such as what happened in Baltimore. They actually lost power. A robot is not going to be much use without power. So there are instances where it wouldn't help, but most of the time, it helps dramatically. Some of these bridge crossings in the Mississippi River, we're on these push boats, barges, tugging barges down there, and it's amazing. I got to ride with one from Memphis down to Baton Rouge as I was installing equipment on the vessel, and they'll go under bridges at a 45-degree angle because it's pushing, the water is ripping so hard that they have to go almost sideways under these bridges. And so there's very little margin for error in some of these spots. And while these great captains can do it, and they do it every day, which is a testament to their skill, you know, the robots can, you know, they can do it better eventually. And so it's just a great idea to remove some of that margin of error.
But it's adapting in real time, second by second.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually seeing what's happening in real time and makes changes based on what's happening, based on what other ships are doing. You know, it predicts where these other ships are going to be. It predicts where it's going to be, and it shows the captain, hey, this is where we're going to have an interaction. We need to make a decision now. And so really, right now, it's more of it's an ADAS. So it's like what's in your car, the advanced driving assist. So your car tells you, hey, there's something in your blind spot, or you get off out of your lane, and it kind of, you know, gets you right back in the lane. That's really what this system is doing. We're not replacing captains. We are actually just helping them to be more safe, have an advanced situational awareness of their the waterways, and just to help increase safety.
So does this mean the system gets smarter as the more it's used?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And so the self-driving car industry, you know, they didn't come out and they weren't self-driving on day one. It took 10 years, you know, to kind of get there. And you know, much of that time, even now, you know, you've got to have your hands on the steering wheel. You've got to be paying attention. It's the same way in the water. You know, it takes years to really hone situations. You know, every waterway is different. Every port is a little different. And so you have to be able to see all of these spots and then train in each one of these areas. Train on different ships. You know, different size. Every time you go into a different size with sensors in different areas, you have to retrain this technology. It's not just a copy and paste. So it is a long game.
Well, I'm wondering, how do you convince these mariners, who have like decades of experience, to trust the system to make decisions that could prevent, you know, an accident?
Yeah, that's, you know, people fear change. It has been difficult in some instances to get people on board, but the marine industry, the shipping industry, is vastly short of captains. They're short of mariners. And so it's really a need. And so we've actually gotten mostly great fanfare from these captains and these shipping companies, because they need all the help they can get. What we're trying to do is just amplify captains. We're trying to make them better. We're trying to make younger captains more able to handle bigger and more advanced things without that training that they. And so our system just is like a co-pilot that just sits on the shoulder and helps out. It's not. It's not a captain by itself, and it needs these guys to help.
Using AI for good, keeping commerce moving.
it sounds like some technology we could use up here in the Great Lakes at some point. Have you tested anything up here?
We actually have. Yeah, we've been to the Port of Monroe, there just south of Detroit, and we did a project there. And actually, we created a little interactive website for the ports to use based on that project, based on the feedback from the guys there at the port. Who, by the way, if you ever get a chance to stop by at the port of Monroe, you definitely should. Those guys are as good as it gets.
Cool. Good to know.
Very cool. This is very interesting. Great mobility makers today. Thank you, Dylan Sparks, Director of Operations at Mythos AI.
Thanks for having me on.
Really interesting
that
stuff.
Is, it is.
The videos are very cool, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sort of the colors at the bottom of the waterway so the captains can see what's going on. That's very, very cool. All right. Coming up next on JR Morning, the latest on the Gaza peace talks underway in Egypt. And, you know, this coincides with the second anniversary of the October 7th attacks that triggered this whole thing. We'll talk about it next at 6:49.